Hello, everybody. This is Steve with the Battleground Podcast. Today's topic is short and sweet. It's the three steps to become a millionaire. Or put another way, the three things that you need to do in every small contracting business in order to succeed. And I'm talking about succeeding beyond your wildest dreams. That's what I've done, literally three times. I started four companies. Three of them made me millions. My goal as a kid growing up, I wanted to be a millionaire by 30, and I actually hit that, and no one was more dumbfounded than me. I'm telling you, in high school and college, I was voted, or at least thought of, as probably the guy least likely to make it, period. So in order for me to come this far, it's just an amazing journey. But anyway, in these companies that I've started, I basically followed three things, and each one of them, if you're diligent, will make you a very rich person. So what are they? They are the big topics, and we teach these in the battleground all the time. In fact, you practice these things over and over and over, so you learn the skills to run a company. So the three things right off the bat are communication, numbers, and leadership. Let me talk about communication first. I like to define communication as just learning how to speak to people so they like you and they trust you. Because nobody is going to buy from you or follow you or hang around you or be anywhere near you if they don't like and trust you, unless you're paying them so much goddamn money that they have to stay around. I mean, they're sticking around you for the money. And that's not a good reason to be sticking around for you. You need to provide a lot of value to all those around you so they have a reason to stay with you. So with this communication, what am I talking about specifically? This is not just from you to your clients to try to get them to buy whatever you're selling, but it's also to you to your employees to get them to buy whatever you're selling. And all those people around you, your family members, your spouses, your relatives, everybody, when you walk into a room, you want to know that you can actually light up the room, that people actually are looking forward to your conversation. And we're talking specifically about something called the Shin Fu. Now, the Shin Fu is a process, a five-step process that I developed probably a dozen years ago. And trust me, I was successful and I was wealthy before Shin Fu, but I felt like every dollar I ever made was the hard way. Then all of a sudden, I developed this system, a five-step process, and this system just made it easy. It is the easiest sales I ever made in my life. In fact, the people just walk themselves into these sales. In fact, the best sales are the ones that the people never see coming. They talk themselves into it. And it was never like that before. It was always, hello, Mrs. Future Client. Let me tell you how great I am. Let me tell you about all my awards. Let me tell you about my team. Let me tell you about me. Me, 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 me. No one wants to hear that shit. And guess what? Each and every single one of your competitors sounds like a salesman, smells like a salesman, and you probably do also. You need to be different. It's a tough world out there. There's a lot of competition for whatever you do. You need to let these people know that they can like you and they can trust you. Therefore, they will let you on their property. So, what does that really mean? The five steps you learn extensively over in the battleground, and you can and we role play this all the time. I mean, there are people over there that get hundreds and hundreds of pretend conversations role playing with other contractors. One time, a contractor will play the customer, then they'll play the salesman, and they'll switch back and forth. So these five step process goes something like this. Number one. You got to find out if what they want, you can even do. And you can only do that by asking questions. So the secret sauce to this whole thing is not to just show up and throw up all over the customer, because they already know everybody's great. They already know everybody has awards. They already know everybody has social proof. They're just looking for one person to listen to them. And that's going to be you, because we will teach you how to talk to people, how to ask questions, how to shut your mouth. We have this thing called STFU, shut the fuck up. And this is the number one thing you can learn in this, in sales, period, is to ask a question, be quiet, let them respond, and then pick up and actually hear what they're saying, and then respond to what they're saying, not responding to what you want. See, most contractors, the only time we're ever quiet, and tell me if this is you, is just to really come up with something snappy so we can pounce and one up the other person. Yep, that's our ego taking over, and that's what we do. So we're asking you, I'm telling you, that the real secret, the easy secret, is to say, hey, how can I help you today? Tell me about what your project is. How long have you been dealing with this problem? What if you don't do anything about it? I mean, these are just common sense, pain funnel type questions, but people love it. I can't tell you how many times I've, at the end of the project, I said, why did you pick me? And they're like, because you're the only one who listened to me, Steve. And I'm thinking, we never even talked about the project. We talked about everything, you know, your sick dog, your Aunt Millie. We talked about everything, but we really didn't talk a hell of a lot about the project, certainly not in depth. And they just felt like they were heard. So that is the first of the five-step process. And the four other steps I'll cover in later podcasts. You can, you know, see them all in the battleground, but it's a very specific, simple thing. The average phone call for me, and I track this over a long period of time, is about 18 minutes. So it takes me 18 minutes to, and when I get to the end of the conversation, this is my initial conversation with any client up front, just to see if we can even work together. At the end of 18 minutes, I either got a deal or I don't have a deal, but I'm not on Hope Island hoping that I got a deal. I'll know either way. And wouldn't you like to save all this time? I mean, think about it. How much time do you waste just going out to talk to people that really aren't going to buy from you? I would say the majority of your trips, the vast majority of most of your trips are wasted windshield time. The first year I tracked how much windshield time, just driving back and forth for people that weren't going to buy from me, how much time did I save in 1 year? I added it all up. The trips I didn't take, it equaled 37 days, 37 8-hour days. That's more than a whole freaking month. How would you like to work 11 months out of the year and make the same money and take 1 month off? That's pretty much what I did. I spent that whole month doing other shit that actually got me closer to my goal instead of running around talking to these people that just weren't going to buy from me.
Check this out. I want to tell you about an opportunity to grow the shit out of your business to 8 figures and beyond if you so desire. In October, I'm keynoting at the Contractor Summit in Jacksonville, Florida. And I want to invite you to join me and other kick-ass contractors as we guide you to automate your systems to give you more freedom and profits in your business. Who can use a little bit of that, right? Raise your damn hands. Or what about building a world-class team that operates without you? What kind of freedom would that give you? And bandwidth would that create in your head so that you could work on bigger things in the business and fulfill your bigger vision? We're also going to dig into things like how to sell larger projects that don't put you in the poorhouse. My God, the number of contractors that take on a big job and end up going out of business because of that big job is staggering. There's far too many people that don't know how to make money on a big project. So guys, I want to invite you to join me, hit the link, go to thecontractorfight.com/Florida-summit, and let's get better together. I'm out.
Number two, numbers. Numbers don't lie. You can't skip the numbers. You have to know what things cost. And here's the bottom line, my simpleton way of putting things. If it costs you a dollar to produce, then you charge two. If it costs you $100,000 to produce, then you charge $200,000. I'm a believer, and I don't care how much money it is, that I want to make 50% gross profit margin. Because by time 50% gross profit margin trickles through all of your overhead and all the other costs that you assume in a particular year, that's going to go all the way down from 50%. You're going to lose 25% of it right off the bat for overhead, whether you think you are or not. Most of you don't even know what your overhead is. And that's the first thing you have to re-costing you. For instance, in my little teeny pond company run out of my garage, cost me $3,200 a day, every day, just to show up without any work. So when someone would want to hire one of my crews for one day, I knew right off the bat it was $6,400 in labor plus all my materials times two. That's what I charged. And I never wavered from that. And I've had four businesses, and I've never had any money problems with any of them. Because I got from day one, I knew what stuff cost me, so I knew what to charge. And I know what happens. You know, you're communicating with these people. You're out there in the yard. You're talking to them about whatever. And maybe it costs you 50 grand. And you know you got to throw out $100,000. You know that's the price you got to throw out. But you start talking yourself off the ledge and back down from that price. You start saying shit like, oh my God, I can't make 50 grand on one project, even if it's going to take me a month to do or 2 weeks to do. Oh, that's too high. Oh, they'll never buy. I mean, in other words, you whip out your crystal ball, because we all think we have one, and we start imposing what we're thinking on what we think the customer is thinking. And that's wrong. The customer will hire and fire themselves. The customers will pay. Quite honestly, if they want you, they'll pay whatever you ask for. And that's the limiting factor, whatever you ask for. If it costs you $50,000 and you ask for $100,000 and they really like you, they'll pay you $100,000, $100,000 to do that job. If you open your mouth and say $75,000, they'll hire you for that too. I'm telling you, of the thousands and thousands of customers I've had over the years, it was almost never, ever about money. You know, do people call you up and they're just about the money? Absolutely. And those are the folks that I get off the phone with pretty damn fast, because I'm upfront and I'm honest about the numbers and I know what I'm doing. So I get pretty damn close to what it's really called. But if they wanted a pond built and I knew it was going to be $25,000 to get them the pond they wanted, I would say, hey, you're really looking at about $25,000. They're like, oh my God, everybody else is charging me $8,000. I'm like, you know, we have a base pond. The base pond starts at 12. That's where I'm starting. That's with zero bells, zero whistles, nothing, just the pond. But by the time you take that $12,000 pond and you add all the great stuff, just like a car, I want the moonroof, I want the electric battery, I want the GPS system, I want the nice upgraded leather seats. You know, by the time you do that, the average car freaking goes up by 50 to 100%. I mean, literally, you go out there and buy a nice car, Mercedes, Audi or whatever. And, you know, these things start about 80 grand, but I swear to God, they're 150,000 by the time you put all the shit you want on it. Same with the pond. I'm just upfront about it. I mean, you can go on the website and you can just build your own car and you know what the thing's going to cost you until you go in their dealership and have them try to beat you up on price. Well, it's the same thing in your business. You should know upfront, be able to talk to people honestly, and pretty damn close about money up front on the phone. And if you follow step one, communication, you just ask questions and let and just literally hear what they're saying. I mean, take it to heart, hear what they're saying. It's not always about numbers. The people that it's only about the cheapest price in town, I tell them up front, look, I'll never get the job ever because I am consistently 50 to 100% higher than everybody else. People don't hire me because they want to save money. They hire me because they want to save their mind. They want to save the frustration. They want to save and get rid of all the crapola that comes with 95% of the contracting experience. They want to be treated like Nordstrom's. They walk in. I walk up to the front door. Day one, I got all my guys behind me. There's only six of us, even at, you know, full tilt in the summer with a couple of, you know, college kids working there. But they're all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, have beautiful uniforms on. They look the homeowner in the eye, and each one of them shakes a homeowner's hand. Now, that's the type of experience these people want to have. That's why they pay me the big money to come in. But they don't pay me the money. I ask for the money. You have to have balls to stick to your guns and go, you know what? I'm going to run a 50% gross profit margin business. And if you're thinking you're making too much money, ask yourself, are you finished saving for retirement? Are you finished saving for your kids' college funds? Do you have the ability to send your kids to even private school? Maybe you don't like the public system. Well, you know what? I believe everybody on this planet has a right to do all those things. And if you got a contracting business, you have a right and an obligation to do the best you can do. That also includes making the most money that you can possibly make for all the good reasons. So you can change the lives of everyone around you, not just yourself, but everyone around you and everyone around them. The trickle-down effect, the pebble in the lake, the ripples that just spread out across the universe will blow your mind. The third and final step, remember, it's communication, then know your numbers, and then leadership. And I like to define leadership simply as just learning how to treat people so they want to stay with you. Literally. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we have new clients coming in the battleground. I said, oh, how long you been in business? 20 years. I says, well, how are your foreman doing? It goes, oh, sucks. I've been through 20 of them. Well, if you've been through 20 foremen in 20 years, you know, I'm not thinking it's a foreman. I'm thinking it's you. See, the number one detriment to every small business is the owner, because the owner has the power to stay exactly the same and never change, or they have the power to change by learning and growing. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Treat people who work for you exactly like you would want to be treated. Don't ever have one of your employees come in and say, boss, I need to leave because somebody else is paying me $5 an hour or more. And you sit there and go, oh, I'll pay you $5 more an hour to stay. Because as an employee, I'd be like, screw you. If I'm worth $5 an hour, why do you make me go look for another job, come in here and quit or threaten to quit in order for you to pay me what you think I'm worth? Why didn't you just pay me that up front? See, we get mired down in just hundreds of dollars. If you pay someone $5 or more, you know, and you take a $5 time, you know, 4,000 hours a year. I want to make sure I get all my math right. 4,000 times $5. That's $20,000 extra a year. How much would that employee make you? I went out one time. There was a gentleman, and he just pulled off the most amazing thing in business. He was running back in my pool company days. I ran 500 commercial facilities, you know, with the lifeguards and all that stuff. And he ran 100 of them. And I'll leave you with this story, and I'll give you the quick version. But he was a poor kid, didn't have any money. And when you open these pools in the Washington, D.C. area, they have to have a health inspector come by first. And you got to get the pool passed through inspection, which is 1,000 things they look for, and they make up another 1,000 things they look for. And once they bless you and say, okay, this pool's good enough to open, you get to open. Well, you got to get that goddamn pool open. And usually you fail, you know, 60% of them, 70% of them, you fail, you know, right off the bat for whatever reason. And then you get a re-inspect, and you pass most of them on the re-inspect because they only go back and look at the things that are broken that had to get fixed. And then a small percentage go into actually a third inspection. And then you're bumping up against, you know, Memorial Day, and you can't even get the pool open. So he made a big, bold statement saying that he would pass 100% of his 100 pools the first go round. And everybody laughed at him. And like, it wasn't even possible. So what happened was, as he went through, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, he got 80 pools passed. He only has 20 to go. And the whole company's now rallying around him going, go, Dave, go. And I remember I told him in the beginning of the meeting that he proclaimed, I'm going to pass all these pools. I said, look, if you do, I will blow you away. I will just do something for you that is so amazing. I have no idea what it's going to be yet, but I'm going to do that. So the bottom line is this kid was dirt poor. The only good clothes he had were the clothes that I gave him. He would show up in ratty jeans and stuff. And it was a bad situation. But nonetheless, he pulled it off. He passed all 100 pools. So he came back to the office. We gave him a big party and a big celebration for that. And I said, Dave, get in my car. And at the time, I was driving a Jag, an XKA, you know, the big executive Jaguar. This was back in, I guess, 1990. So that's a lot of years ago. So I drive him up to Nordstrom's because this kid has no clothes. He has no money. I mean, he comes from poor background. And I just walk into the men's department and I wave over the casual people. I wave over the formal people. And they're like going, who's this jerk waving us over? And I said, look, this boy just did something amazing. I want you to deck him out with all the casual clothes and all the suits and ties he wants. And they're just looking at me like, what? What? I said, yeah, no, I'm dead serious. How much time you need? They go, 2 hours. I said, great. So I leave. I come back 2 hours later, and there's Dave. He's at that octagonal mirror with two tailors, one on each side, measuring his sleeves, measuring his inseam, measuring everything. And he's just got a pile of boxes. Half his boxes are getting tailored, and they'll be shipped later. But Dave and I are carrying in both our hands. We're just like loaded down, the two of us walking out to my Jag. And we get to the Jag and load up all the shit in the car, and which could barely fit in the car. And I look at Dave and he's just crying. He's like, Steve, I just cannot believe what you just did for me. I said, Dave, we ain't done yet. And I opened up my passenger car door, reached in the glove box, pull out the title to my Jag and held it up to him and said, Dave, this Jag is now yours. He goes, what? I said, yep. And I put the pen right on the piece of paper and he goes, stop. I want you to write my mom's name in that title. So I said, okay, what's her name? Janine Reich. 2 weeks later, my wife and I are riding around town and we pull up behind my old Jag and the license plate says Mom's Jag. So here is something. We talked about the ripple effects, right? Before you do good and it just ripples out all over. You make a lot of money and you start treating people around you and around them and around them. And it all just sort of just like the pebble in the pond, the ripple effect goes everywhere. So here's a man, a young man who did a fantastic deed. I went against every business norm you could probably go against, took him to Nordstrom, blew him away, gave him my car. He immediately gave it to his mom and made his mom the happiest mom on the planet. And now she drove the rest of her life in a Jag, which that family never, ever could afford. So those are the three things to take your contracting business. And literally, I could take your business. I'm telling you, I could take your business and in 5 years, I'd be a millionaire by just doing these three things. Communicate, learn how to speak to people so they like and trust you. Numbers, if it costs you a dollar, charge two. And leadership, learn how to treat people so they want to stay with you, so they see your vision. They actually want you to make money. They want the company to make money because they understand that if the company makes money, they will do well. Capiche? This is Steve from the Battleground. I appreciate y'all chiming in today. We keep these things pretty short, so have a great week. Thank you.